Welcome to The Hidden World of Women, a podcast brought to you by Women's Health and Wellbeing Services. My name is Emma and I'll be your host for today's episode. Welcome to the second episode of our series looking at different employment options. So today I'm joined by an absolutely fabulous woman. I'm joined by Linda. Linda loves all things craft, crochet, sewing, has also been a lover of motorbikes in the past, although sadly has given that up of recent times, loves swimming and spending time with her family. And she's here today to talk to me and for us about what it's like to be a FIFO truck driver. So thank you so much for joining me today, Linda.
Thanks, Emma.
So a FIFO truck driver.
Yes, I know. I would never have thought it when I started.
Yeah. And look, I'm going to be honest. I have a preconceived idea that the people who work FIFO, majority of them are blokey blokes.
No, they're not.
All right, and this is why we don't make assumptions.
Of course, like any workplace, I think you've got some that might fit that category, but on the whole, no. A lot of the women just beautiful, nice, gentle women. Some a little bit rougher than others, but you've got that in every workplace.
Yeah. So how did you start? What made you get into driving big trucks?
Well, my husband was in the mining, had been for quite a number of years, and it actually, before that, we had one truck, a B double refrigerated transport in the eastern states. Mm-hmm. And I used to think, oh, it'd be nice to help drive, you know, with my husband. But I was actually too scared to, even though with all his encouragement, positive encouragement that I could do this, he never pushed me. And I went with him on many trips, but I was too scared to take that leap. Then we sold that and he went into mining and I always regretted it. And then when the opportunity came up and also prompted by myself, because I sort of thought we're heading towards retirement and we're not ready financially for that, it was a way to fast track that financial readiness for retirement. So I said to him, if there's any availability, as scared as I am, I would like to come and join you and drive a truck. And with his encouragement, not pushing again, just encouragement that yes, you can do this, I happened to be, I still had to jump, you know, apply and do everything, and I managed to get in to drive a truck. And I did it scared, and it got less scary as the time went on.
So I'm assuming you must have had to go and get a heavy vehicles license?
No, they train you. You do not need a heavy vehicle license.
Oh, because I was thinking, for me, sometimes, I know this is going to sound stupid, but sometimes when I'm driving just a four-wheel drive, you know, and you're like, this particular car park isn't big enough for me to be, you know, driving the four-wheel drive in, how on earth would you, just the idea of driving a big truck around suburban streets in order to get that heavy vehicles license, I think, oh, no, I'm out.
Well, that's what I was like with when we had the refrigerated transport truck, and I always regretted not taking that leap. So when this opportunity did arrive for me, I thought I will regret it if I don't at least give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's often the thing, isn't it? We only regret the things that we don't do.
Yeah.
Well, with some exceptions, obviously.
True.
But, yeah, we often regret the things we don't do. How's that for a little bit of a reshaping? So what was it like the first time you got into the big truck?
Absolutely terrified, overwhelming. I think anxiety just went through the roof. And I'll never forget the first time that I actually saw the big truck up close without before getting into it. Just stood there and just like basically trembled, thinking, how on earth am I going to drive that big thing?
Yeah, it's just like a really big mini. How big is a big truck?
Oh, I haven't got the exact measurements, but basically almost like the size of a small two-story house almost.
It's a big truck.
I'd have to look up the size, but I can't remember the meters, but it's big.
It's big.
Real big.
And so you obviously went through the training.
Yes.
How long was that?
I had a really lovely lady train me. And so you get trained for a few swings, roughly about three to four swings, which is on a 2-1 swing, where you've got somebody in with you, training you. You have a few days in the classroom first. Mm-hmm. And when you've never done that, with all the rules and regulations, that can be a bit daunting as well.
Yeah.
But it's just the fear of the unknown. It's just when I train people, like I just will say to them, just remember when you were learning how to drive a car.
Yeah.
A bit daunting at first, same with the truck. So I had the lovely Delsey who trained me there and managed to get me passed out. And as you learn a lot more then once you're passed out, and then it gets easier and easier.
Yeah. And like you say, just like when you're learning a car, it's that kind of unconscious incompetence goes to conscious incompetence goes to conscious competence goes to unconscious competence, that you just kind of, it goes from, I don't know what I don't know, to I know everything that I don't know. And now I know it, but I've really got to pay attention. And now I can drive a car while listening to the radio and having a conversation and that kind of thing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I think for the most part, probably shouldn't assume, but I started as a much older woman, and I have talked to ladies that have started at an older age as well. And the couple I've talked to, they agree with me that the younger ones do pick it up just so much faster.
Yeah.
Than I think, because maybe we're a bit more cautious.
Mm.
When I've had the younger ones in the truck with me, I'm like, yeah, well, I was like that at that age
too. And I'm not trying to be offensive, but had it been a long time since you were in a classroom?
Yes.
What was that like?
Like a million years ago.
I feel you.
Well, I was the only one that was what they call a greenie, had never been on a mine site before, had never driven the trucks. So the class I was in, everybody else had just come from different sites. So they knew what they were doing and were confident, and the class was a bit boring for them. Whereas I just sat there going, oh my gosh, what are they talking about?
What have I
done? Yeah, and I can't grasp anything that they're talking about. How am I going to remember all this?
Yeah.
But once you're out in the field with a trainer, slowly, piece by piece, it comes together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. We had a student here at work, and she was going, well, you know, what theoretical models do you use for this? And I was like, oh God, I've no idea. Like, because, you know, when you're learning it, it's all about theoretical models. It's all about, you know, what the textbook says and that kind of, when you're out there doing it, it's very different because it then becomes real.
It is. And it is a little bit different to the simulator as well.
Yeah, I bet.
So you sort of do the simulator and the classroom, then you get out there and there's a whole lot of different little scenarios and things that happen that you go, oh, heck. That wasn't in the textbook. Yeah. What do I do here?
Sounds quite a bit like parenting, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was not in any of the books I read.
Oh, no, driving a truck's way easier than parenting.
So can you take me through what's a typical day like when you're – and if is there a typical day?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. As you get more and more confident in what you're doing, it's just become second nature. So a typical day just – I'll just run through day shift times, but we get up at 4 a.m.
I'm out.
Yeah. you do get used to it. and you get yourself ready, go over to the mess and collect, you know, have breakfast there if you wish, collect your food, and you're at your bus, whichever bus you're going on to, whichever area of the mine site. The buses leave between about 4:15 and 5:30. And then at 10 to 6 you have what's called PSI, your pre-start meeting, where they just run you through sort of what has happened in the previous 12 hours while you were sleeping, anything that's moved, happened, general overview of where diggers are, etc., where you're dumping. Then out you go to get your truck. And so then you go and get a truck and off you go. We have obviously different mine sites will have different systems in their truck. For us, we have what's called a MineStar, which has a white line, thankfully, because I am geographically challenged.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking, how often have you got lost? But if there's a white line to follow, I think I'd manage that.
It's surprising how you can get lost following that white line as well. So it comes up and it lets you know where you're going to be going. You get taught how to use the MineStar, which is just no different to basically using your phone, doing the, you know, GPS in your car, that kind of thing. It's just once you learn it, you're right.
Yeah.
And you just follow your assignments and you have control that will talk to you and you just go about your day like that and wave at other truckies and, yeah.
So you're in the truck by yourself all day?
Yes. Oh, sometimes you'll have a passenger. You might have a passenger for orientation to drive them around.
Or if you're training.
Or if you're training.
Yeah.
But pretty much on your own, which a lot of people like that because you have the radio going or your music and, yeah.
And how long do you drive the truck for?
It just depends how many people they have. You might end up being spare for a part, so you could drive sometimes only 6 or 7 hours a day
only.
Other times you could drive right up to 10.5 hours
a day.
Yes, so you have 2 half-hour breaks that, again, depending on the way the trucks come in, how many people there are, that half-hour break could end up being, you know, 45-50 minutes, or it could be right on your half hour. Yeah.
How do you cope with concentrating for, or maybe you don't, that's why you got lost. That's a long time. Like, I mean, driving can be dangerous when you're driving any kind of vehicle. You're driving a big truck. How do you cope with concentrating for that length of time?
I don't have any trouble with it myself. I find it interesting looking around at the mine site, even though some people just, there are some that get very bored there, and it's to them it's just the same.
Yeah.
But I can watch the different colours in the earth as the digger digs it down.
Yeah.
And you catch the sunlight on it and, you know, it's beautiful. There's such beauty up there amongst that red dirt. So you can there's always things to look for, and you're looking around to see and seeing, you know, dewatering doing stuff. And you go, oh, what's dewatering doing? So you can just look around and you can see all those things. So it's up to you to, you know, be aware, situational awareness, as they call it.
Yeah. Did it take you a while to get used to it?
It did. It did take me a little while. And a lot of people that go up there, within the first swing, they'll go, oh, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
When I started, my superintendent said to me, she said, Linda, just give it 3 months, and in 3 months you'll know whether this is for you, or, you know, whether you like us or we like you.
Yeah.
And just give it that time. And that 3 months was a very scary time for me, and could have been very easy to give up, but I was determined. I thought, no, I can do this, and I want to. I've got a goal in mind. So I pushed through that scariness and fear of that first 3 months, and then it just becomes second nature and to where you just love it.
Yeah. So what were some of the biggest fears in those first 3 months?
I think, well, everyone's different, obviously, on your personality, but for me, I think it was just fear of mucking up, doing the wrong thing, feeling silly amongst your, you know, the other workers, the other people, like, oh, what's she doing? You know, you don't do that like that, Linda.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And I had many situations like that. The little things that come about that are a little bit different, or different operators will do things a little bit different, direct you a little bit differently, and you think, oh,
I didn't do it like that yesterday.
Exactly. It's like, could you have done it the same way as they did it yesterday for me?
If you guys could all get on the same page, that'd really help me.
And it does take a little while for all the rules and regulations to gel, you know, and it might seem an awful lot at one hit, but I always just think back to when you're learning to drive, all the rules and regulations of the road, where you have a moment of, I'm never going to remember this, how am I going to, get through this, it's no different. And once you learned how to drive that truck, you know what? It is 100% easier to get in your truck and drive up there than what it is to get back in your car and drive here.
Yeah. I would imagine it would be a big shift when you've been driving the big trucks and there's I mean, I know there is a fair amount of traffic that's there, but nothing compared to the freeway.
No, it's really is the cruisiest job. Honestly, I feel like it's the cruisiest job ever. But it's not for everyone though. Yeah.
Some of those things around the fear of stuffing up, do you think that was impacted because you are an older female?
Possibly partly. But also I think maybe the personalities. Yeah. Because, you know, some personalities will just, you know, they'll have a fall, they'll laugh about it, get up off and off they charge, you know. Yeah. Whereas others will beat themselves up over it. I'm one that will beat myself up over it when I've made a boo-boo. Yeah.
Got to learn to let go.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you absolutely love about the job?
Well, being up there with my husband, of course.
Mm. And so, that must be... How is that? Because I know we're going that this is something you love, but you're with him all the time.
No, not actually. In the evening, we're there, but we can go off to different areas of the mine site.
Yeah.
Often, you don't see or hear each other all day.
Yeah, and I suppose 10 hours in a truck by yourself, you're not with each other all day.
No, actually, you're not. But and then you just, you know, when you finish work, then you're together. Yeah, so... What was the original question?
Things about it that you love.
Oh, okay. Well, for me, see, I've always loved driving, just right from a kid. I grew up on a farm and I was driving at 10 years of age by myself very slowly, you know, around the farm and getting sheep up, you know, moving paddocks, etc. And I just always loved driving, never got sick of it. I can just easily hop in a car and just drive all day.
Yeah.
And so for me that's not a problem to drive all day, where some people don't like driving like that all the time. It does become like a family up there, the people. Obviously no different to anywhere else in life. You've got such a large group of people there. There's not everyone that you gel with, but you learn to work with them. I think it's been it can be a really good learning curve to learn how to get along with the types that you might naturally not gel with or have different opinions than you. And where I work, they just don't tolerate any bullying or anything like that. They're very good. And our supervisors, we're very, very fortunate. We've got marvellous supervisors. So I think a supervisor can help make or break the team, but in general, you go up there and it's like your work family, you know, watch out for each other.
And I suppose 1 week off out of every three must be quite nice as well.
Oh, it is, and it all goes way too quick.
Yeah.
But when you're home, well, maybe not for the younger people so much, but for us, you know, we've got a home to look after. You suddenly got to cook all your own meals, which is wonderful because you can cook nice, decent meals. But you've got all your own sort of stuff to do and get into. At work, it's just work. You're not cooking for yourself. You do your washing, but it's pretty much just work.
And that would mean that you can't have pets and things like that?
Some people do have pets. We currently don't. Mm-hmm. Our pets had passed away just not too long before me going up there. And we were about to get a kitten from my daughter's litter of kittens. But then I got this job and we went,
it's not going to work.
It's just not going to work. So currently we don't have pets, but plenty of people do have pets and might have somebody at home that can look after them. So, or they'll go to somebody else's home to be looked after. So
you can, you know, if you're on one swing and somebody else is on the other, then you just pass the pet around.
Pet share. Yeah. So there are a few downsides to being up there. Mm. You know, one is the pets. Another one is you do miss it out a lot on birthday, family events, birthdays, etc., or you wanting to plan something and you can't plan it because you've got to maybe get a day off work, fly up a day later or something, that can get a bit awkward. Or if something is in the smack bang in the middle of your shift, you can't fly home for it, then fly back to work. Yeah. So.
And is it easy enough for you and your husband to get holidays at the same time?
Oh, yeah, we always do. Yeah. We don't have any dramas with that.
And have there been any kind of, whether it's your preconceived ideas, but have you heard kind of some of those similar stereotypes from other people around what working on a mine is like, and then you're like, yeah, that's not what it's actually like?
Yes, I have often heard of it. And I think I've only ever worked on two different mine sites with the same company, so I can't, I don't know about other companies or anything. But I feel that a lot of it is just to do with the people and their attitudes, than more so than, the site. Although, for instance, the food's not great where we are. It's really not great.
Hopefully the chefs aren't listening.
But you can make it worse in your head if you can, same as anything, if you're continuously going, oh, that food's just disgusting, it's horrid, can't eat it. Or just go, well, okay, that little bit was nice. Pick out the nice bits.
That's it. Focus on the positive.
Yeah. And just,
or the fact you don't have to wash or wash up afterwards. That's a positive.
And you get paid well while you're up there. You're not using your own electricity, water, amenities. All that kind of stuff is less as well while you're up there. But I think just don't get involved with the politics, and because obviously a lot of that does happen.
Yeah.
There's a lot that probably goes on that I've got no clue about because I just don't get involved in the politics.
Yeah.
You just get there, do your job, you be nice to everyone, you still have conversations, but just don't let yourself be dragged down by that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of the things that I guess the positives that we hear about is the money.
Yeah.
Which is always good, but some of the things that we would hear about as well is that affairs are rife up there.
Yes, you hear that all the time, yeah.
Well, you're up there with your husband, so I'm assuming that, that hasn't been something that's been challenging for you.
But we just don't take notice of what's going on. It's like it's not our business.
The thing is, though, that affairs happen. Like when you're not up there as well, like affairs happen.
Yes.
So can you blame it on being on the mines?
Sometimes I don't think so because I sort of sometimes think, well, if it's happening up there, they'll do it down here.
Wherever they are. Yeah. And how do you think that you would go if you were on a different mine site to your husband? No, I'm not talking about the affairs now. I'm just talking about – sorry, I realised I need to make a very clear segue. But speaking about, so in the evenings you get to spend your evenings with your husband, you're getting to see him every day, and that's one of the positives for you being up there. Whereas when he was in the mines before, I'm assuming that was 2 weeks where you wouldn't see him and then 1 week with him. So how do you think you'd go if you were on different sites?
Well, me personally, we just wouldn't do it for us personally, but We would definitely cope if we had to. If that was something you had to do, you would cope.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't do it by choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. For us. So.
And if there's people who are listening who think I might like to look into having a career in the mines, what would you say to them?
I would say just go and give it a go. If it's something that you think you'd like to do, even if you're going, gee, I wish I could do that, but I'm too scared, try it, because, like, I did it scared. A lot of people I've met, they've done it scared. Yeah. And it really can be very rewarding. And I look up there at the young ones and I honestly feel very excited for the young people up there starting it, especially when they're passionate about it. They can build themselves an absolutely fabulous career and just go through the ranks, learn different machines or go into different areas.
How long have you been on the mine?
I've only been doing it for 4 years.
In the grand scheme of things, 4 years isn't a huge amount of time. Are there other areas in the mine that you would like to go into, or you're like, no, I like driving, I want to stick with the trucks?
No, I'm very happy sticking with the trucks. I think if I was a lot younger, like another 10 years younger, I would definitely would have liked to have learned some other machines. But I did want to just stick with the trucks to really just, you know, get to know it really, really well. And I love seeing the younger ones learning. And I just think, no, I'm happy with the truck.
Yeah.
But if I was younger, definitely I would have. If I was a young lady starting off in the mines, I'd be like, yeah, go get those other machines, but only if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is there an amount of time that you spend on one machine before you start learning another one?
It depends, again, on the person. I've seen some go fairly quickly and others maybe take a couple of years. So I think it depends on the person, the availability they've got of trainers, and the need of that the site has of needing more people on certain machines.
Yeah, yeah. Totally random question. Are the trucks air conditioned?
They are.
Oh,
and if
that'd be good.
And if that air con's not working, you park them up.
Oh, good. Yeah, because whereabouts are you? Whereabouts is the mine?
It's about an hour out of, not Port Hedland, Newman.
So what are the temperatures like there?
Oh, they in summertime definitely get up, you know, up to 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets very, very hot.
Yeah.
Up there. Nighttime, wintertime can get freezing, absolutely bitterly cold.
Yeah. Do you get to park the truck up if the heater isn't working?
A lot of them don't have the heaters working because that'll make you go to sleep. Some do. Yeah, some do. You just turn the aircon off and that warms the truck off up really well anyway, and then just rug up.
I was going to say crochet yourself a nano rug and you'll be fine.
Just wear scarves and beanies and that, but night shift it can get very cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any other things? So, you know, you've got the heat and is it the middle of the desert?
No, not quite. Okay. Yeah.
I told you I'm geographically challenged. I'm not really.
So am I. No, it's not really the desert, but it's sort of inland a lot, so it does get cold.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant. Are there any other snakes?
Yes, you have snakes to watch out for, but they really don't, you know.
Don't bother you too much?
No, just don't step on them, yeah.
That's kind of the rule for life, isn't it?
That's right.
So you didn't have to do a snake handling course or anything like that?
No, they do have some people that have done the course, but that's a volunteer thing to do that. There's so many other things to do that you can do, and not just drive a machine, but there's just heaps of other things like your safety officer, you're just inside of all that. Lots of learning stuff.
Yeah.
I can't think of all the names of different things, but there's so much that if you really want to make it your career and go get it, you do those things, you volunteer and you concentrate on one thing at a time. The supervisors see that and that person's really doing well at this. We've got another one, or they'll present other opportunities that you get to go to different areas or bounce around different areas to find out what you like. You like your drill and blast, your dewatering, your...
What's dewatering?
Oh, the water people. I always think it's funny, dewatering.
Yeah.
But they do watering stuff.
Okay. Yeah, that doesn't seem right. But because I was like, when you said it the first time, I assumed that you meant that they were watering stuff, but dewatering, I was like, how do you suck the water out?
Well, they've got huge big pipes. I mean, they're massive, that come down from up top down into the pits, because the further the pit goes down, the water is coming up from the ground.
Yeah.
So they're getting the water out. So there's many different areas. There's training areas and mechanics and just heaps that I don't even know about, that you can bounce around and go and learn each one of those things. So there really is a good future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long do you think that you will stay there for?
I'll be there till retirement, which isn't that far away.
And it's helped with you reaching your retirement goals?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, it definitely has. When, you know, before going up there, I sat down and worked things out, and I'm like, you know what, if I come up here too with you, it's gonna fast track things.
Yeah.
You know, for my husband, because he's worked hard all his life, and I've worked as well, but, you know, it's been pretty cruisy for me. It'd be nice to go up there and bring this home, yeah.
And like you say, it's not only the income that you're earning while you're up there, but your house is shut down for 2 weeks out of three, so you're not having to pay your electricity and all of that while you're there as well, which I'm imagining helps bring the bills down.
Oh, yes, yeah. It certainly does. And it's just been wonderful being up there with him, and just the people and the support around you, and just meeting so many people from so many different walks of life that you probably wouldn't meet in your normal environment.
Mm.
And that also helps you to, I think, get more empathy too, because some people have a lot of issues and problems, and it's not... Sometimes they might talk to you about things and that, but I know for me personally, I think I've learnt to listen more and be more supportive to people and appreciate people where they're at. Yeah, it's just the whole thing, not just in your work life doing the job, but just with people.
Yeah.
And that there's some absolutely fabulous, amazing people that we work with.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that it has impacted your relationship with your husband as well? So,
I mean, we always had a fantastic relationship and all the rest of it, but I think just communication and understanding, because when he would talk about different things, I had no clue.
Yeah.
You could sit there and nod your head, but really you just did not understand.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you're up there in it, and I'd have all these moments of like, ah... That's
what
he
was talking about. Yeah.
So you really understand, yeah. And it has improved, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing I was thinking about, I think, because for how many years beforehand, you can hear about something and have an intellectual understanding of it, but until you've lived it, you can't really understand it.
That's right.
So... did he have any reservations about you going up there?
No, he didn't. He said... In previous years, he would have, because other sites he'd been at were pretty rough.
Yeah.
And whereas when I joined him, he was more than happy. He said it's a really good site and safe and everything. So he was really happy for me to join him. And I'm glad I did, because I knew that if I didn't give it a try, I would regret it.
Yeah. Do you think that... over the years, and I know you've only been doing this for 4 years, but do you think that generally the culture of mining is shifting to being that more positive culture, and, you know, less mine sites would have that it's a rough site type of thing attached to them now?
Yeah, no, totally agree with that. Yeah, they're way more inclusive.
Mm.
They're way more, or like I say, I can only speak for, you know,
the two that you've been on. Yep.
Yeah, for where we're at, they're way more wanting to get rid of the bullying or to sort the problems out. They're wanting that family, get along sort of atmosphere where people are happy. Obviously it's a very hard task to reach that, and they'll always have some disagreements that happen and that, but in general it's pretty good.
Is it a dry site where you are?
No, it's not, but it's 4 extremely weak drinks per night that you're allowed.
All right, okay. Because I had heard that on some sites you can go, I think the person who I was speaking to said they got 6 drinks a night, but there would be people who would stockpile and then have blowouts. But I'm assuming it doesn't matter if you stock, like how much have you got to stockpile when they're really weak drinks to actually have a blowout?
Well, there's meant to be random checks for people that, you know, on people that do that, because you're not meant to stockpile. But we just find we just don't even worry about drinking when we're up there. And a lot of people do. They just don't worry about having a drink when they're at work.
Are you breath tested?
Yes. Yeah, you get random DNA checks.
And that's 0? So there's no tolerance for anybody blowing anything, I guess, when you're working. And no tolerance to any drug use at all, regardless of whether you're on shift or not?
Yeah, no, that's correct. Yeah, no tolerance. It's all 0. Yeah.
And I mean, it needs to be. You're working with dangerous equipment.
Yeah.
So, and it's your life, but other people's lives as well.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
Do people take that really seriously?
I think most people do. You've always got a few that abuse it, that don't sort of, I don't know, maybe they just think it doesn't apply to them or that they can get away with it or something. But I think for the most part, most people do, you know, take it seriously.
Yeah. Do you think, have you seen anybody who, you know, when they're starting, they're struggling with not being able to have more than four really weak drinks?
Oh, no, I don't. Oh, I don't see it because I don't go up to up there after work or anything to you know, to sit down and have drinks. So possibly that there probably are some. But
is there much scope for socialising? Like for me, I kind of think 10 hours in a truck, I'm going to bed. but do you get an opportunity to hang out, play cards, anything like that?
Yeah, there is those opportunities for it. For me, we're just like heading back to our room and, you know, chilling out. We're tired. But no, a lot of people, particularly probably more so the young ones, but a lot of people after work gather up at the bar for a couple of drinks and a debrief chat and everything, or they get together to have their tea. And that first, you always got, you know, things like swimming pool, tennis courts, and hit a ball around. So they have a lot of little sporting events that they, you know, people get together for.
Is there a gym up there?
Oh, yeah. There's a huge gym.
I honestly don't know that, you're getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, when do you fit in going to the gym? But for some people, I know that's important.
That's right. There's a lot of people that'll get up then at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to go to the gym.
Oh, God.
Or to go for a walk, but that's not me.
No. How many times can I push the snooze button?
I'm like, I need my sleep.
Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking, like, you talk about it being a second family. So I had this idea around kind of social clubs type thing. But then I thought, when would you fit that in?
They have all these wonderful things and we look at them and I go, well, we haven't got time to even do that. Honestly, we don't really, because I like my sleep.
But yeah.
There are people that do manage to fit that in because it's impossible, I suppose it's important to them. So they'll get up to early to go to the gym and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're all different and it takes all sorts, but I'd be like you and staying in bed as long as possible. Going to bed as early as possible. Yeah. So do you wish that you'd done it sooner?
I do, yes. Yeah. I do wish that I had done it sooner. Yeah. But everything has a time to it.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, there's a saying, women can have it all, we just don't necessarily need to do it all at once.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're on this planet for as long as you are, there's lots of time to pick up new things.
That's right. But if somebody goes up there new, and I always feel like just try to give it 3 months to just to see, because it's not all glamorous. Some people, you know, hype it up to be this glamorous FIFO lifestyle. Well, it is not glamorous. It's getting up very early. You're working in
your super sexy high-vis.
Exactly. and it's not hard work, but it's long hours. It can be very dusty work. It can be very hot conditions or cold conditions. There's a lot of people around you all the time. And if you're somebody that loves having a lot of people around you all the time, well, that's great. And if you like a bit of quietness, you know, sometimes it's like, I'm all peopled out today.
Yeah. But I suppose at least even being all peopled out, you've got how many hours sitting in your truck by yourself?
Yes.
So you get some, you can kind of get that balance there.
That's right. Yeah. So it's not for everybody. And there's no harm in, if it's not for you, if you're struggling, to go to talk to supervisors or to the psychs.
Anyway. Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called. you know, there's plenty of people that you can go to talk to about it, and there's absolutely no shame in just going, you know what, this lifestyle isn't for me because it's not for everyone. Or you might go, yeah, I can do this, but put a limit on it and if you've got a financial goal, try and get some good financial advice and work that goal. For me, it was a 5-year goal.
Yeah. Oh, so you're very nearly at the end of it.
Yes.
Or have you pushed it out a bit more?
No. Oh. So for me going up there, my personal was a 5-year goal.
And you've said that you started this later in life.
Yep.
What would you say if there was somebody who was like, oh, well, I'm 55 now, I'm too old to go and do something new?
Absolutely not. You're never too old. Never too old to learn something new and go and give it a go. I was 57 when I started.
Yeah. So are there other older ladies up there?
Yeah, there is. And all around that later, you know, mid to 50s to 60 sort of age group that are just starting out for similar maybe reasons.
Yeah.
Or they've been in the corporate world, they've had enough, just want to change. It was something that had always thought in the back of their mind, gee, I wouldn't mind giving that a go.
Yeah.
Go and do it. Yeah.
And I guess so there are younger women who are doing it as well, and there's younger women who are doing FIFO while they're, you know, caring for children. So, you know, I think we've seen, what we used to see was that FIFO was the dads would go and the mum would be at home solo parenting while dad was away. But that's not necessarily the case anymore.
No, it's not. There are some mums up there where the dads are stay at home and or work part-time looking after the children because his type of job is what he wants to do, and the mum might want to go up there. So, yeah, it's like that. Or some have older children that maybe another older sibling, you know, can help look after and that kind of thing. Yeah, they've got all different reasons for being up there.
Yeah, but I guess it's that we can shut those stereotypes down.
Yes.
It's not just blokey blokes who are up there working. There are women across the whole spectrum, from young women, pre-children, to women who have got kids, to people who are, you know, older women who are up there. There's not a specific demographic of women who are up there working.
No, there's not.
Yeah. And have you found that you get on equally well with men and women up there?
Yes. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. It's not that it doesn't become a boys' club and then all the women are relegated to the kitchen.
No.
I mean, I know, metaphorically speaking, obviously, because you've got rubbish cooks who are in the kitchen. And some minds do have good cooks. So, yeah. And some minds don't.
I'm not a fan of the food at our site.
Yeah. But other sites have got, you know, they might have different people in the kitchen.
Exactly. And you do hear some really good stories.
Yeah. I was speaking to somebody last weekend and he was saying that one of the chefs is on a slightly different swing and he knows when he goes home.
Yeah.
So he knows when the good guy's on and he knows when the good guy's not there anymore.
a bit the same with us up there. Sometimes you'll go in and you go, the ones that can cook aren't here.
Yeah, that's it. Is there maybe a sandwich? Yeah. So, but it is, I guess, you feel included.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's not just because your husband's up there creating that space for you. Yeah. Like, you don't need to be married to somebody else who's on the job in order to fit in.
Yeah, definitely not, no. Yeah. So I can work up there if he's not there, you know, if he's at home, which I have. There have been a couple of occasions when he hasn't been able to be there.
Yeah.
And I can work up there quite happily, yeah.
Yeah. And it feels safe?
Yes, it does. So, well, I certainly feel safe. Occasionally I've heard of other people say that they haven't felt safe for whatever reason, but I certainly feel safe up there, yeah.
What are the living quarters like there?
Yeah, they're just your dongers and they've got some little ones.
Is. Oh. I've heard that term, but I've never had anybody that I could say, what is a donger?
It's about the size of this office here. Or possibly a bit smaller than your office, and you just walk in and there's your bed and there's a desk and then there's a little bathroom, shower, basin, toilet, just the very basics. So, and then there's the smaller ones, and then you've got one that's a slightly bigger room that they'll for couples as well.
Are there many couples up there?
Quite a lot, yeah. There are a lot of couples that work together.
That never even occurred to me.
Yeah. No, it is awesome. And then there's a lot of people that they're happier to be up there by themselves.
Yeah.
And their partner to be either at another mine site or doing whatever job they do at home. And it works really well for them.
And that's the thing. It's not one size fits all.
No. No.
So, yeah. And is your husband planning to retire the same time that you are?
Yes.
That's so exciting.
It's not too far away.
Yeah. And how do you feel? So there's the excitement that, you know, your goal's coming and you're almost there and you're almost ready to retire. But that also means that you're going to be stopping driving the big trucks that you... How does that feel?
Yeah, for a long time I was like this, thinking, oh, don't think I can give up these trucks. Because I really do absolutely enjoy doing it. It's very rare for me to get bored doing it. And I like the people up there, I like the job, and, you know, it's cruisy. So it's taken me quite a while to get to the mindset where I think, yeah, I can go on to other things now.
And have you got a plan what the other things are going to be?
Yes, we do. We not just sit at home the whole time, but do a lot of travel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of travel involved, and just being there a lot more for our family and our grandchildren.
Yeah, because you're very young, so...
I'm in my 60s.
But you feel very young. You don't feel like you're... Look, I think 60 is very young.
Thank you.
You don't feel like you're ready to stop.
No, I definitely don't. And I could easily keep going a couple of more years very easily.
But you don't want to miss this time where you are still young, where you could potentially be going out and having fun and enjoying the world.
Exactly. And I think that's part of what's prompted us to think, no, we'll retire from the mine site sooner than what we first planned to. Part of that is because around us we have seen a few people similar age that they have, for one reason or another, their plans for retirement have not been able to come to fruition because of health reasons.
Yeah.
And we have seen that a little bit recently, and so that has prompted us to rethink that and think, no, let's...
Where are your priorities?
Yeah.
And... Yeah, that's exactly. I think one of the things is that people can get caught up in the money.
Yeah.
And it can be hard to give that up. So,
yes.
Yeah, which I can totally understand. I really enjoy being able to pay my mortgage.
Yes. So,
and eat as well, because that's probably almost more than my mortgage payment trying to pay for food.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of jobs here at home that pay just as much as being up in the... In the mining, and you know, you're not home every night, whereas it is nice to be home every night as well.
So, yeah, definitely. Yeah. In your own bed, which is in a room bigger than, you know.
That's right. Well, yeah, bigger than a tiny little
bunga. That's it. A whole house. Yeah. And I was going to say something else then, and I've totally forgotten what it was. Can't have been important. Final thoughts on if somebody is sitting there going, oh, well, I've thought about it and maybe I might like to, but, oh, it feels a bit hard, or, you know, there's all these stereotypes, or I've heard all these negative things about it. What would you say to any women, regardless of age or where they're up to? What would you say to them?
If you've thought about doing it and something you think you can imagine yourself doing, and if you think, will I regret not giving it a go, then try and give it a go. They also have traineeships, which are awesome to get you started as well. Then if it's not for you, or you're missing home and all the events that happen while you're at work, there's no shame in going, you know what, I don't want this life. Yeah.
And then depending on where life stages happen, you could always go back.
Exactly, you can. Yeah.
And any hints or tips for people who might think, well, I'd quite like to do it, but I actually have no idea, where do you start?
Well, go to the agencies like Hayes, Chandler's, all the other names of them, but to go to those ones and put your resumes in and just keep on doing it all the time.
And I think here as well, we have, it's aimed at school leavers, but there's the expo that's in the exhibition centre, and they often have the different mining companies there that are talking to school leavers about different options. But just because you're not a school leaver doesn't mean you can't go to that and talk to them and ask and say, hey, how do I start and what do I need to do?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. Go to those ones. We were a while back flying out from Cairns after being over there, and at the airport were a couple of mining companies there to, you know, talk to people there. So if you ever see...
At the airport?
Yeah, at the airport.
Oh, wow.
There was a while back.
Yeah.
So...
It's a good idea, particularly if you've got to spend 2 hours there. I might go and have a chat with that bloke over there.
Exactly. So if you see any of them, go and have a talk to them and they'll be able to point you in the right direction, what to do, or get your name and that. Yeah.
Oh, well, fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate all of that and really appreciate... I guess, resetting some of my ideas around what it's like working up on the mine, and also really appreciating that I only have a 20-minute drive to work.
Oh, thank you, Emma. It's been a pleasure to come in and, yeah, hopefully you've answered some of their questions.
You've answered a whole heap of mine. Oh. So I got something out of it, even if none of the listeners did. But, no, I really appreciate it.
I think a lot of it is attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's universal, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You know, like you say, you can focus on the fact that the food doesn't taste good, or you can reframe it and you can go, well, actually, what is there that I can be grateful for? What can I find joy in this?
And then there's such pleasure when you sit down and eat a meal and go, oh, my goodness, this is delicious.
Yes, exactly. It's all about how you look at things. So.
It is. And that goes right through, you know, through everything. Not just the mining life, but everything.
Yeah, most definitely. That seems like a beautiful place to leave that. Thank you so much for joining me, and I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, Emma.
Thank you for joining me for today's episode of A Hidden World of Women, a podcast brought to you by Women's Health and Wellbeing Services. For more information on the services we offer, head to whws.org.au or Women's Health and Wellbeing Services on YouTube and social media. Looking forward to the next episode where we uncover the hidden world of women.